Everyone, you may not know this, but less than a week ago, I was with Keith in Austin, Texas, and we spent a number of days together attending a conference together. We were sick. We ate a lot. So we were really, really sick. We had barbecue for lunch, barbecue for dinner, and on top of that, we have ice cream and shaved ice. That guy can eat, right? That guy can eat a lot. And I remember that, well, we got so sick that we had to find some vegetables at one point, you know, just to feel that we are healthy. But we had a great time. I had a great time with him, and to be able to fellowship with him. And I think one of the things he said is that, you know, you're coming to preach on that Sunday when I'm not here. And I said, yeah, that's true. Don't do it again. So I'm not gonna preach something about his salary. What I will preach about is his employment benefits today. No, I'm not. The text that I picked today is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to verses 11. And it's a timely text that we have today. It helps us, again, maybe prepare for Easter, for Good Friday that is about to come. So let me just read that for you. I think it's printed in your bulletin. Verses 1 to verses 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that ye may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you wish, it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. It's a text that we have today, and it's a really simple text. It's a story that Jesus told. He's using the example of the vine. And the vine is one of the three most common plants or that they were planted in ancient Israel at the time. The other two are olives, and the next one is figs. And we see these examples happening over and over again in the New Testament. But the vine, by far, is the most common plant, or one of the most common plants during the time of Israel. And Jesus picked that example and used that to explain this text for me. And in this story that we have a couple of characters. We have the vine, which is Jesus Christ. We have the gardener in the other translation, or the vine dresser, which is God himself. And we have the branches, which Jesus called you and I today. In fact, this example of the vine is so common that Jesus himself, in other parts of John, calls himself, I am the true vine. So let's get right into the story. Let's get right into the characters that we have here. God is the gardener. God as the vine dresser. If you ask any plant lover, and anyone of you interested in gardening here, that really loves gardening, okay. Just pretend. I'm pretending you're not here today, because I will pretend I'm not, okay. But I'll pretend that I'm an expert. And you can point out to me where I'm wrong. But I'm assuming none of you are. So let me just tell you a little bit about gardening. And in terms of any plants, in terms of dealing with the vines, you ask any plant lover or any gardener, you will know the health of the tree or the health of the fruit that is produced by the plant is 100% dependent on the amount of care that the gardener puts into the caring and the growing of the plant. Of all the fruit plants, we all know that the vine, which in this case most likely the grapevine, requires the most attention. In the spring, which is a season like now, they need to be tied to support beams so that they can grow taller and higher. In the winter time, the soil around the roots has to be loosened so that the roots won't tangle with one another and they die off. And then the third part of this whole idea of producing quality grapes and fruits is this whole idea of pruning, which is, I believe, what is the text trying to teach us today. It tells us in this text, and Jesus says, that every branch that does not bear fruit will be cut off. Okay, and every branch that bears fruit will be pruned. Now, this is a great message, because if God is the gardener, the vine dresser, and Jesus is the vine, and you and I are the branches, God is telling us today through this story that if you do not bear fruit, you will be cut off. Happy? But if you bear fruit, what will happen to you? You will be pruned. Now, isn't that great? Today is a win-win situation. You leave church today extremely happy because you know that either you are cut off or you are pruned. Happy Sunday for every one of you. But what's the purpose of all this? What's this whole idea of pruning? Why is this text teaching us about pruning? Or why is pruning important? Again, you have to go back to a gardener, to a plant lover, to understand this. Because for them, this is about efficiency. This is about cutting off, this is about, I'm sorry, I might mutilate this plant a little bit. Imagine this is the vine, all right? And every branch that does not bear fruit, now this one doesn't look like bear fruit, it's going to be cut off. Why? So that all the nutrients that's going to be received will go into the branches that will bear fruit. It's about efficiency, right? Now, for this branch looks like a healthy branch, doesn't it? It looks great. But let's say, if I'm really the gardener, if I'm really the plant lover, if I really wanted to produce the best fruit or the best flower, what should I do? I will prune it. I will take away this one and I won't do it, don't worry. I'm tempted to. I will take away this one, I'll take away this one. Why? So that the nutrients will come up from the vine and goes into those that are already producing excellent fruit. So that, what's the conclusion? The conclusion is this, that those branches that bear fruit will get even more nutrients and they will bear even greater fruits for Jesus, for you, people like you and I. You see, unless we undergo the process of pruning, we will not be able to bear much fruit. And I think God is not that interested with us just bearing fruit. God is interested in us bearing quality fruit. See, verse 3, it tells us clearly that this text is not talking about unbelievers. It's talking about believers like you and I. We are already clean. We who accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are already clean. All we need is a little bit of pruning here and there so that you and I can begin to produce quality fruit for Christ. This passage is about fruit bearing. We need to bear fruits for Christ, and that is the point. And how do we do that? The way we bear fruit for Christ is that we cannot bear fruit for Christ if we are apart from Christ. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. We are just the branches. Christ is the vine. Christ is the one that flows through into us with the nutrients, with all the nutrients and minerals we need to bear fruits for Jesus. So let me expand on this point a little bit. And there's two things that we think we can learn, that we can draw from the example of gardening in terms of coming to the vine and planting the vine. Firstly, there is this idea of cleaving, that as vines, as branches, we need to cleave. We need to cleave onto Christ. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we cannot bear much fruit. Vines are known to be climbers, as you can see. They need additional support and care in order for them to reach their maximum potential. And I think it's the same for us as disciples of Jesus. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot change ourselves unless we attach ourselves to the vine, unless we attach ourselves to Jesus Christ. So what does it mean for us? It means for us that no matter how good we do in our Christian walk, we cannot grow. That no matter all the things that's happening here, and as great as they are, as I look at your bulletin, you're filled with so many of these wonderful opportunities to grow in Christ. You have a kids soccer camp coming up, which I'm interested to send my kids there as well. I'm wondering if I can make that early bird price. There's a summer camp coming up. There's a missions trip coming up. I'm trying to say these are great activities, but those alone will not bring transformation. Those alone will not bear fruit. Only thing that will bear fruit is that we abide in Christ, abide in Him. It doesn't matter until we have this real and intimate and sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. Text tells us very clearly over and over again, unless we abide in Him, we can do nothing. There is no strategy, there's no board meetings, there is no matter how long your board meetings are, no matter how long your AGMs are, no matter how much money you have in your budget, you know, no matter who is the speaker, you know, unless we abide in Christ, we are nothing. We are nothing, and we cannot produce anything. And this is the reality that we are in. Unless we commit ourselves to be disciples of Jesus, to be fully mature, devoted disciples of Jesus, unless we surrender ourselves 100% to Christ, we will not bear fruit. We can do lots of other stuff. We can go all over the world. We can do a lot of good deeds. We will have a great time. We will have a great fellowship. But we will not bear lasting fruit. This is what the text is trying to tell us. If the branch does not abide to the vine, it will not bear fruit. And what will happen to it? It will be thrown into the fire and burnt. Vine branches are so thin and useless that you can't make anything out of it. You can't even make them into IKEA furniture. There's only one use for it, and that is to throw them into the fire and burn it. And any branch, Jesus says, that does not bear fruit will be thrown into the fire. The second aspect of this, the first one is cleaving unto Christ. The second aspect of this is persevering in Christ. Craig Keener, one of his commentaries in the Gospel of John, writes that there's a present tense being used in verse 5 and verse 6. It suggests to us that John simply is not referring to the moment of entering God's presence, but a continual dependence on Him. And this is what I'm thinking we're trying to say. There's this whole idea that as the vine, we need to continue to depend on Jesus Christ. Because every gardener, every plant lover knows that we have to fight the forces of nature in order for this plant to grow. There is heat. If it's too hot, the plant will dry up. If it rains too much, there will be too much moisture, and rot will begin to happen. If it's too windy, you know, things will, you know, fall apart. If there are insects and whatever it is, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's causing that will restrict the growth of the plant, restrict the quality of the fruit. No one says that bearing fruit is going to be easy. No one says that bearing fruit is going to be automatic either. There is no shortcut to the Christian life, to the Christian maturity. There is no pills that you can pop. There is no books that you can read that can guarantee you success. If you want to bear fruit, there is this whole idea that we have to persevere in Christ especially through the tougher times, the difficult times, when the wind strikes, when the rain falls, when the heat blasts at you. Verse 8 tells us again that by continuing to abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. That means by continuing to cleave unto Christ, by continuing to persevere in the Christ, we will bear fruit. There is no way a branch, let's say, pick any one of these, that is attached to a healthy vine, in our case, Jesus Christ, and under the constant care and protection of God the Father, God our Father, will not bear fruit. Will not bear quality fruit. That is naturally impossible. That is physically impossible. That is spiritually impossible. Fruit bearing is the sign for us then as true disciples of Christ. Not baptism, not a religious degree, not church attendance, not acts of service. Fruit bearing comes automatically when we abide in the vine. And other things like prayer, faith, ministry, service, daily devotion, all this comes naturally as we abide in Jesus. Those are the outward fruits that other people can see. Those are the outward fruits that can be seen from afar, and other people can come and take a bite at it and praise Jesus for it. So therefore, it's impossible to have a branch that is attached to a healthy vine, which is Jesus Christ, under the constant care of God, our gardener, our heavenly gardener, and that and undergoing the process of pruning, it is impossible that it does not bear fruit. So that's the good news. That's the promise that we have. So I've given you two bad news and one good news, right? Two bad news is, let me just sum up a little bit. The two bad ones is this. As a Christian today, either you get thrown out or you get pruned. That's the bad news. But the good news is this. If you abide in Him, you will bear fruit. Now, that's the promise. And that's the promise that we have. So how do we do this? How can we do this? How can we abide in Him if we can do nothing on our own? Well, we abide in this, in the love of our Father. And in verse 9 to verse 11, fills us up with a different kind of language here. It's about a language between the love between the Father and the Son. The God that loves the Father, God the Father who loves Jesus the Son, and this relationship of love that so creates the heavens and the earth, made human beings in His image, that Jesus took on the form of man and died on the cross for our sins. This is that kind of love of obedience, of care, and it's the same love that Jesus loves His disciples, that Jesus loves you and me. And now that we are in Christ Jesus, God the Father loves you and me just the same. We are not pawns. We are not second class. We are not created for the amusement of the gods, but rather we're not robots. We're not created without a choice. We are not dirty, perverted, fallen beings that God regretted making. We are created beautifully, wonderfully, but we are lost. But then yet at the same time, out of God's wonderful love, we have been redeemed. And now we'll be redeemed back to this relationship between the Father and the Son. And now that we are in Christ, and Christ is the vine, and we are the branches, we are now in Him. And this text is so beautiful that it tells us, you know, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And that's the reason why we want to bear fruit in Jesus, for Jesus. Because of the love of the Father and the Son. Because there's nothing else worth abiding in. There is nothing greater. There is nothing more glorious. There is nothing more satisfying. Think about it. What is greater than abiding in the love of our Father? Is it money and wealth? You can always make more money. Or the money that you have would, you know, someone will spend it for you. Right? Is there more power or pleasure? If you think that, you know, if you fall in love, that will satisfy all your needs and all your desires. Think about it. Every of those items, you know, is lacking in some sense. They're just probably just substitutes of the real thing. And I don't want to suggest to you the real thing is this, that we are created for this relationship with God, the Father, and the Son. That the thing that we are searching for in our lives in terms of love and intimacy and acceptance is ultimately not found in sex or pleasure or anything else, but actually found in this relationship of abiding in the love between the Father and the Son. You know, I give you a great example that I have today. You know, how many of you are Android users here? Yeah. You know, I was a big fan. I was an iPhone user for a long time. And then finally, the Nexus 4 came out, right? And I was like, for those that have no idea what I'm talking about, just bear with me. The Nexus 4 came out, and it was I wanted to get it. And then when it was launched, and then because it was overwhelmed, the whole Google website was crashed for the first time. And then when it was relaunched a couple of weeks later, I got in, I tried getting in, I finally got it, and I had to wait 8 weeks for it to ship. 8 weeks for a device, for electronics. It basically means this. By the time 8 weeks has arrived, it's probably a new model that's released. But anyway, I waited 8 weeks for it. I got it, and I was so happy. Even though it doesn't sync with the iPhone well, anyway, I was so happy. I was so proud of it for the first 2 days. And then what happened after that? Google announced, it's now available for everyone. It ships in 2 to 3 days, right? See, this stuff Stuff like this, toys, gadgets, everything else, you know, things that we put our significance in, things that we put our joy in, our pleasure in, those are just a substitute. It's always going to get replaced by a newer model. It's going to get replaced by something else. There's only one thing that will last. There's only one thing that is worth investing in, and that is God's love. There's only one vine that's worth abiding in, nothing else. So verse 10 tells us that so we abide in His love. And by doing so, the only thing that we need to do is we need to keep His commandments. We demonstrate our love for God by obeying Jesus. Now, I know some of this verse might trouble some of you. You might be going to think that, you know, we're not saved by works. But this verse is not a formula. This verse is not about, it's not legalism. This verse is not even about obedience. This verse is still talking about love. That this is a God who loves us. There's God who is extending His love towards us. It is about this living in this love relationship between the Father and the Son, that we are so loved, that we're invited, we have an opportunity to enter into that love, that we willingly keep His commandments. We obey God not that we get saved. We obey God because we are saved. We obey God not to earn the Father's love. We obey God because we are loved by the Father. I know that human relationships are not the perfect example of a love between the love of the Father, but it's as close as I can get, at least for me. You know, I love my two girls. I love them so much. There is nothing they can do that can make me love them more. Right? There's nothing. The moment they are born, the moment I hold them in my arms, I know that I will love them for the rest of my life. But do they keep my commandments? Of course not. Do you keep your parents' commandments? Of course not. Do they disappoint you? Yes. Do they make you angry? Yes. Do they give you heartburns? Yes. You know? Do you yell at them? Yes. That's called pruning, right? Do they fear me? Hopefully no. Hopefully they don't fear the Father. Do they fear the punishment that I might inflict on them if they disobey? Yes. Hopefully they do. Because that's what it is about. See, I don't want my children to obey me because I will reward them. The other day, my four-year-old came to my room and said, "Daddy, for my birthday, can I have a flat-screen TV in my room?" I said, "No." So I don't want my kids to obey me because I will reward them. I want them to obey me because they know that I love them, no matter who they are and what they will do. Not because of fear, that they fear that I punish them, and I do sometimes, not often enough, but sometimes. You see, by doing this, our joy is complete. This text is beautiful in the sense that verse 11 ends up, if we abide in Christ, if we obey in Him, if we find our satisfaction in Him, and we allow God to, if we depend on Christ and Christ alone, and allow God the Father to prune us, then the beautiful part of verse 11 is beautiful, because then it says, my joy is complete, which is the Father's joy, which is God's joy is complete. And your joy, that means the human being's joy, you and I, our joy will be complete, will be full. That means if we abide in Christ, if we keep His commandments, God is delighted with us, and we are ultimately fully satisfied. That's a win-win. I start off with two negatives, I'm going to end with two positives now. God is delighted, and our joy is complete. You see, our pursuit of happiness is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. To abide in Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, to allow Him to prune us. And this includes, I know this will eventually include things like prayer, serving, daily devotion, quiet time, going to fellowship. I know, but those are not the most important thing. Those are secondary. In fact, I want to argue those come automatically when we abide in Christ. We obey God, we abide in Christ, not because we feel that we get cut off and thrown into the fire, even though that is very scary. We abide in Him because we are love. That because we are love, that we are because we are invited into this relationship with God. That is why we want to spend time in prayer. That's why we want to spend time reading His Word. That is why we want to go to church, because we want to tell other people. We want to share our experience with other people. How God is doing in our lives. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to take a lot of discipline. It's going to take a lot of time. And sometimes God's going to prune you. And no one likes pruning. No one likes to be snipped off. Ask the branch that I just picked off. Somebody is dropped somewhere. No one likes it. When God cuts something, you got to understand this. If God loves us so much, He will not allow us to grow anywhere, anyhow. He will have a purpose and plan for us. I know those are fake trees. I observed that when I was worshiping. I was about to snip some of those stuff off. He will not allow us to grow in any old fashion, but rather He has a purpose and a plan. He has a design for us. He created us. He knows we should be going this way. And when we disobey God, when we're living lives that are not in line with Him, when we grow in other directions, well, as a good father, as a good governor, what does He do? He snips it off. He cuts it away. He cuts it away so that we eventually grow back into His design, into His order. He cuts it away so that all the stuff that we have in Christ will be channeled to places where we can begin to bear much fruit for Him. And so I want to encourage us today that maybe you are going through a season where God is pruning. Maybe you are going through a season where, you know, there is this, maybe I'll end with this theological question for the day. Does God troll? You know the word troll, right? Troll is an internet slang that came out a couple years ago. It's a new word, T-R-O-L-L. I just learned it last year. I was trying to wrap my head around this concept. Anyone under the age of 21 understands the word troll. In my opinion, anyone over 21 does not understand. No matter how hard they try, they will not understand the word troll. I spent 1 year trying to understand the word troll, and I still can't use it properly. But let me just try it. It starts off as an internet slang by, you know, people that are putting on blogs, basically provoking you to a response, making you upset on the internet. Right, and it moves on to the other, to a different usage where it's becoming a word that you use now. And I know some of you are saying that's not true, but you can tell I'm not 21 anymore. But it basically an intentional way of making you mad. That's in some sense trolling. You don't mean it, but you intentionally want to make you mad. Go Google it. Go look it up yourself tonight. For those that are older, these are words that your kids are using, and you probably have to Google multiple sites to understand what it means. Does God troll us? Does God troll us? Does God lead you one direction and suddenly cut it off and say, ha ha, too bad, you know, stuff like that. You know, I don't mean it that way, you know, stuff like that. All right? Well, let me just, and that's worth discussing with your friends over lunch. That's a fun word. That's a fun word. Well, God doesn't troll. He does prune, though. And when He prunes, it sure feels like trolling. It sure feels like trolling. It sure feels like He left you out on your own, left you all by yourself. You believe in God for something, and it never happened. It could be a promise, it could be a job, it could be a relationship, it could be something that you really believe, oh, God's going to give you this. You felt so secure that God is leading you there. And then suddenly that thing just fell apart, and then you felt like God saying, ha ha, you know, troll, LOL, and stuff like that. Well, God, that's not troll. That's called pruning. Because sometimes God has to make that happen to you so that you remind yourself that apart from the vine, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, you are nothing. And it reminds us to just fall back on our knees, to tell God that you are the vine, and I'm just the branches. And I will abide in you. I will keep your commandments. I will glorify you. I will prove to be your disciple. I will abide in your love, so that I will make you happy, and that I will be happy as well. Can we pray? Father, we, I know in a congregation like this, I know some of us here may be feeling we might feel the pruning of God's love. Hey, it doesn't feel good. Certain things might have been taken away from our lives that we question why. Certain things happen in our lives that we ask God, why did God allow that to happen? Jesus, I don't have the answer today for this congregation, but today, God, I pray that this passage will comfort them. At least it tells us that we are not in control of ourselves. We are just branches. At least it reminds us that the vine that we depend on is Jesus Christ. And there's nothing else greater than that. And most importantly, it shows us the Father, who is constantly at work. Even though we cannot see Him, even sometimes we cannot feel Him, but He's constantly at work, guiding us, pruning us, preparing us, protecting us, and ultimately leading us to the right place at the right time. So today I pray, my prayer for all of us here, myself included, that we surrender all control of our lives over to Jesus. And we tell God the Father, God, if there are areas of our lives that needs to be pruned, needs to be cut off, because it's not going to bear fruit, or it's not going to be effective. Today we surrender to you. Today we ask that God cut it away. Cut it away so that we can grow. Cut it away so that we can even bear greater fruits. Cut it away so that it reminds me that I am nothing but the branch and Jesus is everything. So, dear God, we surrender our lives to you. You are the vine. You are the vine, the dresser, and we are the branches. Glorify, may our lives glorify you by the fruits that we bear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.